something that you need to turn over to the Lord this morning? He's here. How do I know he's here? I brought him with me. Did you bring him with you? Y'all worship the Lord as we sing this song. Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. Then he'll make a way for you.
Make a way for you. I just have, she was singing that, and I was thinking, it's just like the, how many times we've been on the road somewhere, especially this new modern era, and somebody pulls out a GPS or asks their phone how to get there. Jesus is so much better than that. He can get you there. All the way, all the way, all the way. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and welcome everybody this morning. Praise God, praise God. So good to have y'all with us. Those watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal Villa Rica. Make yourself at home. If you're watching this service live now or at a later date, just know that the Lord is just great. We love Jesus and we just love the Lord, and we're just ready to have service this morning. Congregation looks a little lopsided. If y'all start leaning this way, somebody run over to this side. Praise God, praise God. I know we got a lot of people traveling, a lot of people that aren't able to be with us this morning. There's some that are still sick and shut in. We want to keep them in our prayers, those going through therapy or waiting on test results. I know I've heard many, many prayer requests. And also those that are struggling right now, whether it be with addiction, lostness, or worried about our children, our family. Let's all just lift them up in prayer. If you can, if you feel like standing this morning, please stand. We're just going to stand to honor God. We're going to go to Him in prayer this morning. And as I spoke of those prayer requests, we also have our prayer box, those flash things that we get over text, those fancy things, and I really like it because right then you could pray right then for someone. Praise God. Good to have our visitors and those that are with us. If you have a prayer request this morning, and show by the raising of your hand. You know, God knows it. But also, how many of you that God's already answered prayers or He's blessing and He's already touched it? Just raise that other hand and let's just praise Him for a minute this morning. Lord, we just love and praise You. Dear Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace, dear Lord, for You loving us, dear Lord, even when we're unlovable. Dear Lord, thank You for everything that You're doing in our lives, dear Lord, for Your many, many blessings. But dear Lord, we just want to thank You. Lord, we just want to love You and just honor You this morning with everything that's said and done. Lord, we ask You to receive each instrument that's played, each song that's sung, dear Lord, every hand that's raised, Lord, to edify You and You alone. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, dear Lord. We thank You for Your written Word that You've given us, dear Lord, for that Word that You've gotten our heart to, dear Lord, for You just loving us. Lord, we're going to lift up each and every prayer request to You this morning, Lord. You've seen the hands that were raised, dear Lord. You know those spoken and unspoken needs, dear Lord. We know that You know the depths of our hearts. Lord, we're placing each and every situation in Your hand. Dear Lord, for those prayer requests, it's written in the comments section, dear Lord, on the Facebook page, dear Lord, for these live reports, dear Lord. We're just asking You to touch each and every one. Lord, we know that You're a great physician, the great healer. Lord, we know that You're the great protector. Lord, we know that You're the great provider. And Lord, we're asking You to touch those that are sick, those that are shut in, not able to be with us this morning, whether they're in nursing homes, assisted living. Lord, we're asking You to bless those caretakers. Dear Lord, bless this community, this town, this state, dear Lord, and this country. Lord, may we turn our lives over to You because of You, dear Lord, is who we are. And Lord, we give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give Him another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As we were singing that about letting Jesus take over.
I've been praising the Lord for healing Brandon. And we hadn't seen much help, but I can't expect Him to work for us unless I praise Him. And he came up for prayer last Sunday about his back, and that was the main thing about his back, but I knew that he was not depressed exactly, but he was not himself. And, you know, he's been battling this for months. And I just kept praising the Lord. You know, I know You're going to heal him. I know You're working on him. And I know Brother Eddie spoke to him. I didn't hear exactly what he said, but it was something that I've been thinking, you know, he needed his joy. He needed his joy back. And he has been so much better this week. I spoke to him Wednesday, and he said, well, it's still tight, but I can actually walk without tears coming to my eyes. And I thought back on when Brother Chris was being prayed for and he was in the floor, and I just felt, he's in God's recovery room. Eddie had told him he was in the operating room. I said, he's in the recovery room. And that's what I told Brandon. I said, the Lord is still working on your back. I said, his hand is in there. That's what you're feeling. And I just thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord for the faith that Brandon has. I know he's not going to testify in front of y'all, but I just want to praise Him for answering our prayers and continuing to bless him and heal his body and lift his spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
All to the glory of God. Amen. We just lift him up. And while you're standing, we're going to go ahead. I got some good news to give you, too. And it's on page 306, the old gospel ship. And that's the way the song says. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. We lift up the Lord in praise as we give our testimonies of praise. That's letting the world know how great God is. Amen. So I'll turn to page 306. It's on the screen. Amen. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joy with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip, the good old gospel ship, and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip, the good old gospel ship. Seated if you can, just turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. Praise God, praise God. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise God. We know that God's got a plan. We're just going to give Him all the glory. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. If I get a couple of ushers to come up, take up the offering. This morning, any announcements? Everybody, praise the Lord. Go ahead and do this. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
around him. Whosoever calls on any God's name will be cast into the lion's den. Daniel didn't pay the king no attention. 3 times a day he prayed to God anyway. When confronted with consequences of the lion's den, I can hear old Daniel say, I don't have cause in religion.
Yeah. second verse says, He gave you beauty for your ashes. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. He gives beauty for ashes. I'm thankful this morning for God's grace and mercy. Y'all worship with me as I sing it again. You gave me beauty for my guilty stains. And now I'm living day to day by His grace.
What God for his mercy. Man, mercy, that's what mercy did for me. Amen. When I was unworthy, his mercy and grace stepped in. My, my, my. Are you thankful for where Jesus brought you from this morning? Let him know it. Come on. Give the Lord praise in the house this morning. He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you. We appreciate you coming out on this Sunday morning to worship the Lord. Has God been good to anybody this week?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we get into this morning's sermon, we have a wonderful opportunity this morning. We encourage this. We teach this, the dedication of our children, man, given back to God that he has blessed us with. And this morning, Kayla and Ricky are going to be the proud parents of a baby dedication for Braden Ray Whitten. So I'm going to ask the family if they would to come up and sit on the first pew this morning. We're going to read some scripture and then we're going to have a baby dedication. Amen. Give them a hand as they come forward this morning. Amen. This is a very important advent in the life of a child and even in the family, because we're recognizing that we need help in the rearing of our children, and the best help that we can get, it comes from God. So we appreciate this family for realizing that and for seeking that guidance and help from the Lord. And Braden's already looking up here to see what's going on, so that's good. The Bible tells us that Hannah bare a son and called his name Samuel. She brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli the priest. And she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. That's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 20 through 28. In the New Testament, we read concerning the infant Christ, that when he was 8 days were fulfilled, they called his name Jesus. And they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he received him unto his arms and blessed God and said, "Now let thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. The Bible says the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And the Lord said, "I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." I'm going to ask the family if mom and dad would bring Braden forward, and Braden can come too if he wants. Certainly this is a happy occasion, a joyous occasion, but it's also a significant occasion which brings us together. Just like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your child to the temple today to present him to the Lord. You have heard the invitation of the Master, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." It is fitting that you should bring your child while the spell of his advent is still upon you. The mystery and wonder of this new life have brought you to stand reverently and thoughtfully before the Father of all, and have given you a new and compelling message of the dignity of life and certainly the obligation of parenthood. Mom and Dad, the purpose of this service is to help you as parents to appreciate your obligation, to help you train up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when he shall come to the age of responsibility, he will most naturally turn from the wrong and to the right, and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. God has a purpose for this child's life. To find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean success. To refuse or ignore it will mean failure, no matter how much worldly acclaim may come. Mom and Dad, it is your privilege and duty to guide your child in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest ambition of his life. To this task, you are called to consecrate yourselves today. To this end, you declare to dedicate your child to God. in accordance with the purpose for which you have come, will you respond to the following covenant? Parents, do you present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct him in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to guide him in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotions and by your words and certainly by your example, that he will at the proper age most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship of the service of the church? Inasmuch as you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of rearing him for God, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. And to this end, may the blessing of God rest upon you. It sounds like a lot to agree to, but basically it is just a day-by-day continuation of instilling the love of Jesus Christ, not only into your children, but to each other. And it will come naturally as long as you keep God first in your life. So at this time, we're going to see Braden to let me hold him. We're going to pray a prayer of dedication. Got you a little blue. Oh, how precious is that? Man, I remember the days when our children were dedicated to the service of the Lord, and we appreciate parents recognizing that they need God's help in the rearing of children. My only desire is I wish other parents in the world would see the need also, amen, to dedicate and consecrate their life and their children to God, amen. So let's just be much in prayer for those who are rearing children. How many would agree with me when you're raising children, you need prayers? Amen. All right. Go with us this morning to the book of Jeremiah. In the fifth chapter of the book of Jeremiah, I want to read verses 22 through verse number 25. Again, Jeremiah the prophet, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 22. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Prophets right here conveying the words of the Lord. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea, and by a perpetual degree or decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in its season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. And we pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love. Thank you for those who have gathered here today. Father, I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. Speak through this vessel this morning, God, that we need to hear. Father, I pray for your direction. I pray for your instruction. God, I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy on the lost today. Those who are unsaved, Father, I pray that you would prick their hearts, cause them to come to an altar of repentance, God, and accept Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those who are suffering today. Many are afflicted. Father, we pray a very special prayer for Sister Kathy Bennett this morning, God, who's suffering from cancer. And Father, I pray, God, that you would have mercy upon her, strengthen and anoint her body, God, as she goes through this battle. And Father, I humbly ask right now that you will be with me, God, as I attempt to bring this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Man, how could you not love the Lord with all of his goodness and all of his mercy? There has been a line or a statement that has come to me over this week that I have mulled over and dwelled on and really did not know that the Lord was leading it in the form of a message, or maybe it was just instruction for me. How many knows that God still speaks to us on an individual basis? And how many is thankful for that? Man, I long to hear from God. And the topic was, or the line was, that basically, don't cross that line. So I want to attempt to bring this message to you this morning, as I feel that's what God has burdened my heart with and laid it upon my heart to bring to the church this morning. Don't cross that line. To set the stage, I want to go back and read verses 1 through 3. Jeremiah the prophet says, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek the broad places thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return." Therefore, setting the stage for the prophetic word of Jeremiah. You know, many people think that these prophets just had an unction to write their feelings, to write their beliefs or their opinions, and that could not be further from the truth. These prophets were anointed by God. God spoke to them before the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad that we don't necessarily have to have a prophet that speaks to us today? The Spirit of the Lord that dwells within us should on a daily basis communicate with us. Now, whether we're tuned in or not, that's up to us. Whether we're listening or adhering to the Word of God, but I believe that God does speak to those whom He loves. But in this day, God spoke through the prophets, and the prophets in turn wrote and preached and to give to the people that God laid upon their heart. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, not because he was a crybaby, not because he was sad and forlorn about his situation, but he was weeping for Jerusalem. He was weeping for God's people. He was weeping for a backslidden nation. He was weeping for those who once knew and experienced the power of God, but now seemingly was unconcerned, man, and more concerned with their own desires and their own wishes and their own pleasure. So, rightfully so, God was trying to get the attention of this backslidden nation. God is giving a warning, if you will, through Jeremiah. And he asked a question. Do you fear me not? Do you not respect me? See, a lot of times when we read the word fear in the Bible, we think of, oh my Lord, it's just God's impending doom and wrath upon me. But fear in the Hebrew and the Greek the terminology or definition is a much broader definition than just the word fear as we're scared. It means total and absolute respect of the deity of God. You respect anything in the world today, you need to respect God's power and God's house and God's love. But he asked the question through Jeremiah, do they not fear me? Do they not respect me? Do they not acknowledge me anymore? These are a people that have experienced and received the power of God. I have fought battles for them. I have fed them. I have led them through the wilderness journey. I have clothed them. I have had other nations wish that they could be as prosperous and as blessed as Jerusalem. But now they seemingly have turned their back. They're more interested in themselves rather than serving me. Do you not perceive that I am the creator of all things? And he tells Jeremiah to use this analogy, to use the analogy of the seas and the oceans. And he tells them, he said, I have placed the sand for a bound or boundary of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. I have drawn a line in the sand to give the seas and the oceans a boundary or a limitation. I created that. I have made a way. No matter how much they roar, no matter how much or how turbulent they are, they have a boundary that they are not to exceed. And his point was, that was just one part of my creation. How many would agree with me today that just as God created the trees, just as God created the oceans, God created all things, he also, if we believe that, he created man and formed and fashioned us. But he loved us so much that he breathed the breath of life into us, and we became a living creature, but we're still part of the creation. If the other parts of creation have a boundary not to exceed, then the analogy was that God's people has a line they don't need to cross. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you probably already know. How could you not know? The current events tell us that a big portion of the world today, great multitude of people today, are on the very verge of crossing that line. In times past, we were taught, we believed, not to even go near the line, let alone desire to cross it. But things have changed. I said things have changed, but God hasn't. Things have changed, modernized, but the word's still the same. Listen, the word doesn't have outdated things. It's still the same as it was yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the God that I serve is still the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. But in this time of maybe complacency, comfort, peace, whatever the case was, they become to be less and less dependent on God, more involved in the things that please the flesh. If you're not aware of it today, advertisements all over the place. You know what they're geared to? Not to your spiritual, but to your flesh. Make your flesh feel better. Make your flesh look better. Make your flesh look younger. All of these things are geared to the flesh. Oh, that we as a world, oh, that we as a nation, oh, that we as a church would be as concerned about the spiritual man that is within us, about nourishing our soul and about feeding our soul as we are about caring and taking care of the flesh that houses the spirit. But over the years, we've drawn closer and closer to this line. God says, don't cross that line. I have set a boundary. From the very beginning of time, from the very beginning of the Word of God, all the way back to the book of Genesis, God set boundaries. And I thought about, of all that he gave man in the Garden of Eden, go Go back and read it. You Bible readers know it was a glorious place. It was a wonder. It was in a utopia. I mean, just go out and pick the fruit. You didn't even have to. You didn't even have to work it or anything. It was just. I believe even the weather was perfect. Truly a paradise. Of all the things that you have access of. And you know what? Many times, let me just pause and see if I don't lose my train of thought. Let me just pause for a minute. I've had a lot of people say, oh, I can't serve the Lord. Look at all the things He restricts us from. You're looking at the wrong thing. Look at all the things He has given you. Look at all the abundance of blessing that He has made possible for you. Where else can you get the joy of knowing that if you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you don't wake up in the morning, you got a better place to go to? Only God can give us that luxury and that blessing. And out of all that's in the garden, out of all the wonderful paradise, you can enjoy it day in and day out. But there is a boundary. There is a line that you are not to cross. You can cross all the other places. You have the freedom to go any and everywhere, except do not touch of this particular tree. Everything else you have access to. But I'm drawing a line here. You're not to cross it. You're not to cross this line. Because that's a boundary. Today, it seems like that we're edging closer and closer as a nation, as a people, even as churches. How close that we can get to this perpetual line that God Himself has instilled. Now, I want to clear something up. It's not the lines that the church draws. Not the lines that the pastor draws. It's God's line. He didn't ask me about the line. He didn't need my opinion. Many people have stepped in the way of God and draw their own lines, their own decrees, and their own statutes and precepts, which mean absolutely nothing. They are not God's statutes and precepts. Many people will send you to very hell if you don't adhere to their restrictions. I don't read that in the Word of God. But I do want to tell you what an old preacher said. Because I am afraid that a great portion of the world today have passed this off, this place of eternal, this place that has no beginning and no end. And if they haven't passed it off entirely, they've accepted part of it. The glorious kingdom of God, the heaven, the true paradise that we live forever in a brand new body. But this old preacher said, if you believe, know absolutely that there is a heaven, you got to believe and know absolutely that there is a hell. There is. But there's a line you don't need to cross. Jeremiah, tell them, they're too close to the line. Preachers, tell them today, they're too close to the line. Parents, tell your children, you're too close to the line. Tell one another, the world is too close to the line. Don't cross it. There's danger on the other side. There's a warning. Please know and understand that we are to live in the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God and not try to exceed the line that God has placed for us to be obedient unto. You know what causes us to want to cross the line? When we begin to try to apply the Word to our lives and say, well, it doesn't really mean that. Surely God wouldn't do that. And what that does is entices us to not live and obey the Word of God. Listen, the greatest compilation of words that you'll ever find in this world are from Genesis to Revelation. The Word of God. My granddaddy was ministering to a cohort that he worked with, and many times they would debate And I say debate, and they would just disagree. But my granddaddy carried a little testament in his shirt pocket. He wanted to make sure that he wasn't telling somebody what he thought, but what he was reading from the Word of God. So they were talking back and forth, and my granddaddy said, "Well, here, just let me read it to you." And the man said, "No, I wouldn't even have it if it's in the Bible." He crossed the line. Crossed the line. When we place our ability over God's ability, when we think we know more than God knows, or when we say, "I don't need your Bible, I don't need your Word, and I don't need God," then we've crossed the line. Folks, let me tell you, there's years past, people have been afraid to acknowledge that, but today it's openly. I don't have to. That's nonsense. That's old-fashioned. No, it's not. It's truth. Truth. From the very beginning of time, as I said, Adam and Eve, "Thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." All this other you can have, but thou shalt not eat of this tree. He gave the Ten Commandments as guidelines for us to acknowledge. Telling the children of Israel, when you enter into the promised land, do not worship idols. Do not get involved with the people that worship idols there. You know, the Bible talks about being a separate people. We know we can't just disregard people, but we don't have to have what they're preaching. Come on, we don't have to be affected by their ideology or beliefs. If it's not what the Bible says, I don't want to participate in it. I don't want to cross that line. Now Jeremiah's preaching to him. And in his sermon, he's preaching to a corrupt nation. Just run to and fro, see if you can find a man. See if you can find someone to acknowledge God's deity. To acknowledge that we need God's guidance. And I'm sad to say it's getting fewer and far between to find those people that truly put their faith and trust in Almighty God. You see, a lot of people have begun to have a relationship with God as one of convenience. Not convenient to God, but convenient to them. When they need a blessing. When they need healing, when they need deliverance. But other than that, they don't have time for God. They're not committed, they're not dedicated, they're not consecrated to a daily life with God. And as I was mulling this over this week, and I was searching my life and my own heart and my own walk with the Lord, and I said, "Lord, do I... really have so much other things crowding me out that I'm not giving you sufficient time that you desire? Lord, am I approaching that line? Am I getting so near that line that I'm losing focus on the only thing that means anything in this life, and that's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You can gain the whole world, the Bible says. Still lose your soul." It is amazing to me that we don't regard the soul that is within us as much as we need to. When given the opportunity, and you know this analogy is, if your house was burning down, what things would you grab? And you know, the heirlooms, this and that and the other, and all those things that we would grab. But what is the most important thing? Your life. Very few people will say, "My soul." You see, because the way that I read the Bible, the way that I acknowledge the Word of God, I can lose everything in this world. Everything except my soul. I can't lose that. Can't cross that line. We have Job as an example. He had a lot.
And he lost a lot. But you know what? He didn't blame God. He didn't get upset. He didn't poke his lips out. He didn't quit church. He simply fell down and worshiped God. Said, naked I came into this world. Naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all of the things, the turmoil, the sickness, covered with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, he never blamed God. Sometimes we blame God that the light just turned red when we was trying to get under it. God, why'd you do that? Blame God when things don't go right at work. We blame God for all this. Do you praise him when things go right? Do you praise him when you have the ability to open your eyes in the morning and put your weight on your own two feet? Do you praise him for another day, for breath of life? Do you praise him you have a roof over your head? Do you praise him there's food on the table? Do you praise him for your loving family? There's so many things that we need to praise God for. We don't have time to grumble. We don't have time to complain. We don't have time to point out the things that are going bad in our life. But I see ever so slightly an edging and a desire to get closer and closer to that line. Like a child. What does the child do when you tell them, don't touch this? You can play with the rest of it, but do not, whatever you do, touch this. What your back is doing. Turn around, there they are touching it. It's nature. It's our nature. My adversary knows that. What did he tell Eve? Surely you won't die. Maybe not physically, but they died a great death. Horrible death. As pleasant as it was prior to that, it became difficult. For them, earning their living by the sweat of their brow. Boy, we're quick to blame Adam and Eve, aren't we? Boy, it's their fault I got to work all these hours. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I'm not so sure what we would have done in the garden. Because with our actions today, we're living in and anticipating as close to the line as we possibly get. We don't want to get over it, but we just want to get right to it. What are you talking about, Brother Eddie? I'm talking about just, you know, kind of half-heartedly serving God. Not really being dedicated or committed, just kind of wanting him somewhere in our life. I found out a long time ago, that doesn't really work. Because you're never going to be satisfied. You're going to get a little closer, going to get a little closer, going to get a little closer. And then first of all, it don't mean anything to you. You're so busy taking care of yourself, living life, enjoying life, just kind of having a great time. And you know what? You know what draws you back to that line? This is bad to say, but disaster in your life. Many, many times. Sickness, affliction, sometimes death draws us back to the, oh God, I need you. God's right where he always was. Warning us, telling us, don't cross that line. Don't go back to the way it used to be. Satan said, you need to go back. You need to have some fun in your life. You only have one life to live. You're only going around the world once. You need to enjoy this. He is a deceitful liar, is what he is. First of all, he says, when you only have one life. No, this life cannot compare to the life that I got coming. Glory to God. There is no way we can compare the sufferings to the joy that is set before us, that Jesus Christ himself said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. How many's looking for that new life, for that new body, for that new habitation? Stay on this side of the line. Not only don't cross it, don't go near it. Shun it. No desire for it. Don't come by prayer and fasting, seeking the word of God. Daily devotion in our Bible. That's where our strength comes from. That's where our spiritual nourishment comes from. when we have a desire to seek the Word of God. We see a world today crossing that line. I'm not here to blatantly tell you what's going on. You know exactly what's going on. But I will tell you this, as a man of God, it's not godly. I said it's not godly what's happening in the world today. And it is certainly not scriptural. Man, this is what I need to go by. Not by a poll. Not by popular opinion. Not by what some group says. And certainly not what the adversary says. The adversary says you can do anything you want. Be your own person. No, there's a line. There's a spiritual line that we are not to cross. God's always had a boundary. God told Jeremiah, I've even set a boundary for the ocean, a boundary for the sea. They're not supposed to exceed that. Many do not acknowledge or respect God. I know you've probably thought or said the same thing that I thought or said. If our grandparents and great-grandparents were alive today, they would not recognize the world we're living in. When respect is gone out the window, when honoring people's salvation and their religious affiliation, the desire to do anything and everything and try everything that the world has to offer, many have crossed that line. They don't see a need for repentance. God loves me. That's the reason he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross. Not for his sins, but for mine and yours. That we wouldn't have to live in a sinful nature. Many don't obey or even believe the Bible. Have you ever heard what goes around comes around? There's a season for all things. I told you at the very beginning, the onset of this message, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forevermore. So is his word. The Bible says in Genesis 6, and it came to pass, that means it happened. Anytime you read in the Bible and it came to pass, it happened. That's not just a phrase. When men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them for wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That debunks the fact, well, I'll just get right whenever I want to. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, that chance may be gone. And by the way, who said you got breath for tomorrow? Because the breath of life is on loan from God. It's a blessing, like I said earlier. Every morning you get up, thank you, Lord, for the breath. Thank you, Lord, for strength. I won't always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Does it sound like God looked down in the year 2022? The month of August of this year. It's almost the exact same situation. And if God saw it then and hated it, don't you think God sees it and hates it today? I don't want to give you hope. I mean, he knows with God there's always hope. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, you'll never see grace now. You'll never experience mercy now. That's another couple of lies that he gives. Because God is still extending his grace and he's still extending his mercy, and we ought to thank God for that. First of all, thank God that you're the recipient of it. And then secondly, thank God that he still has mercy on the lost today if they will obey. Come to an altar of repentance. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For repenteth me that I have made them. I just saw something in that. I've heard people say, well, it's only me. It only affects me. No, that's not biblical. What had the animals and the creeping things done? I don't read that they were disobedient unto God at all. But God destroyed them because of the sins of man. Let's bring that into a spiritual realm. The sin that I commit only affects me. No, how about your family? How about your loved ones? How about your church family? It affects a lot of people. How about that person who had respect for you and you was their example and they see what you're doing and they copy you in their lifestyle? Oh, that's another message. Brother Eddie, don't get on that one. But because of the sin of man, every living creeping thing, the fowls of the air, he destroyed. Oh, but thank God for verse number 8. Thank God for verse number 8. Hallelujah. That's when we read the Bible. We need to read it in its entirety. What does verse 8 said? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't tell me you can't live a holy life in this world today. Noah found grace when everything else was evil. Noah found grace when the whole world absolutely was going to hell. But Noah said, I will not. I absolutely refuse to cross that line. I'm making a statement. As for me and my house, we're going to live for the Lord. We still need people to stand up today as Noah was, as Joshua was, and say, I will not cross that line. God's been too good to me. I know where my future is. I know where my blessings come from. And I know when this walk of life is over, I have a brand new glorified place. If you're venturing toward that line, and I just want to clear it up, it's not a bright red line that's shining in the sand somewhere. That'd be easy recognizable, wouldn't it? It's not one of those railroad crossing bars that comes down. I know you've seen people that say, that don't apply to me, I'm going around. There's people that say that line don't apply to me. I'm going to live my life just like I want to. Ain't nobody or no person going to tell me what to do. Not me. I ain't crossing that line. God's grace and His mercy has been too good to me. No, it's not that line. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. I call it a Holy Ghost bell. Get a little close to something, that little Holy Ghost bell goes off. Don't you touch that. Has the Holy Ghost ever said, you ain't got no business there? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost bell ever said, don't you get involved in that. You know what the Holy Ghost bell has to tell me sometimes? Shut up. Also, flesh wants to say something. Holy Ghost bell says, shut up. You don't need to say that. You know what kind of consequences that'll bring. Just be quiet and pray for them. That's the Holy Ghost. That ain't devil telling you to do that. Devil said, give them a piece of your mind. Said, roll that window down and shake your fist at them. Holy Ghost said, don't do that. Cross that line. Folks, it's a serious matter. Eternity is serious. Said once, and I heard it somewhere, eternity does not have door number 3. You choose this day, 1 or 2, heaven or hell. A glorious state, a utopia world, a beautiful paradise, or eternal damnation. And you know what? People think, oh, I ain't bad enough. You know, just the disobedient will go to hell in the Bible. That's pretty straight. God. Thank God. He warns us. Don't go there. You know what? If you go there, you go as an intruder because it wasn't meant for you. Hell was not made for you. It was for Satan and all of his imps. But if you go there, you go as an intruder. If you go there, you say, no thanks to grace and mercy. Yes, I'm going to please the flesh. That is the invisible line that we cannot ever cross. May God bless you. May God strengthen you. You're here today and you feel that, you know, this is how important and how urgent salvation is in our life. I've talked to people and said, yes, I know I need it. Yes, I'm going to get right. I'm going to get my life straight and I'm going to get right. But they don't understand. You'll never get your life straight until Jesus comes into your life. The other thing is they don't realize that they may not ever have another opportunity. Say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm not. Scared religion doesn't work at all. If I scare you in the altar and then you just did it because you're scared, you're going to go back and live the way you want to. But if you see that there is a need in your life, in your heart, and I'm not where I need to be with God, you make that decision. Chances are that'll stick. So with having said that, please, everyone stand. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, every saint of God praying. I don't know where you stand with God. I hope and pray that everything is right. I hope and pray that if you would lose your last breath right now, that heaven would be your home. I don't know that. But you do. And God does. And as a preacher, as a man of God, who's simply trying to take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can, I love you. And I pray that you're ready. But if you're not, don't be ashamed. Don't be concerned of what people around you will say. Don't be concerned if anybody here, it's none of their business. But if you want to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to make sure, I want to make absolutely positive that I have not crossed that line, that all things are ready, and that your spirit is alive and well within me. There's nothing wrong with coming. Rededicating your life, you've never invited him in, there's no better time. Is there one that would come this morning while no one's looking around? Then I take that as a sign that everybody in the house is ready to go should the Lord come or call. I've delivered what I felt God laid upon my heart. I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of God and say somebody's blood is on your hands, preacher, because you didn't tell them. I feel like the message has gone out. What we do with it, that's entirely up to us. May God bless you. I love you. I'll pray with you anytime. It doesn't have to be in this altar. If you want to call me up sometime, that's how important I think it is that we make sure that we're right. God bless you. Have a glorious day. God's a healer. Believe that this morning. How many believers do we have in the church? Pray with me right now for the healing. Give the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 He is so worthy to be praised. You know, there's a lot to be said. We talk amongst ourselves. But when we gather together as one in the Lord's house and we pray and we lift Him up and we hear such powerful messages God is bringing to us. You know, it's a timely message, as Brother Eddie has well spoken. And this is God's time, and it's a warning going forth for each and every one. Time of battle. And we know who's going to win. But it's a choice that each and every one of us have personally as to which side we're going to stand. If there's anyone that needs prayer this morning or wants to change your life, and Brother Eddie's well spoken, and I'm message. I love His Word, love God's Word. I just want to let you know, as He said, we will pray with you at any time. Love each and every one of you. All hearts and minds clear then before we dismiss. I want to invite each and all of you back for service this evening too. I don't know what God's doing, and these messages that go forth, they keep just building on. But let's be in much prayer for our services tonight and all the different situations going on for those, and just glorify God for all the healings He's done. I know He's touching right now. He's healing right now. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your name. Dear Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your Word. Lord, thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask You to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, we just want to lift You up. We want to honor You. We want to praise You. Lord, may we be the vessels that You can work through. Lord, may we be like the light post, dear Lord, the lantern, dear Lord, that Your light shines through. Guide us, keep us, and direct us. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Love you. Have a great afternoon. See y'all this evening. Praise God.